NPR's senior news analyst Ted Koppel was in Beirut and southern Lebanon several weeks ago, where he talked with members of Hezbollah. He joins us now. Ted, back then, when you talked to Hezbollah, did military leaders talk about having planned something like this, the capture of Israeli soldiers, which apparently had been planned for some time?
I suspect, Melissa, if anyone had been incautious enough to express that publicly, he would no longer be a leader of Hezbollah. No. We talked about a number of things. We talked about their enduring animosity toward the State of Israel. We did talk about the fact that they have in their possession in the south of Lebanon at least 12,000 missiles, rockets. Thus far, the understanding has always been that those were short ground-to-ground rockets. This one particular, he was the commander of Hezbollah forces in the south, which effectively makes him the military commander of almost all Hezbollah forces. He did concede that they have some longer-range rockets now, which they have been receiving from Iran. Then one asked him how many and what kind of range. He said, I'm not going to tell you anything that will ease the concerns of our enemy.
You mentioned their animosity toward the State of Israel. Presumably their intention is still the destruction of the State of Israel. Did they describe that to you?
Yes, animosity, and you're quite right to call me on that, animosity is too gentle a word. They want nothing less than extinguishing the existence of the State of Israel. As far as they are concerned, that is territory that does not belong to the Jews, and they are absolutely determined that they will take it back, or as they put it, liberate it.
When you think about the timing of this escalation, Israel, of course, pulled out of Lebanon back in 2000. Why would Hezbollah take this action, provoke this response?
I must tell you, Melissa, that I think, and I don't want to be too conspiracy-minded here, but I really think that Iran is playing a very dangerous game. And I think Iran is has already formed a coalition of sorts with its enduring support for Hezbollah. And you have to know that Hezbollah relies in large measure for funding on Iran, in large measure for its weapons on Iran, and in large measure on its training, so that the military commander that I was talking to in the south, he spent 11 years in Iran. He has five children. All five of them and his wife are living in Qom, the holy city in Iran. There is a very, very close connection. You could almost say that Hezbollah forces are a forward contingent of Iranian intentions, only this time placed in southern Lebanon. Similarly, they have increased their support for Hamas, which, of course, now controls the Palestinian Authority.
Hezbollah is part of the Lebanese government, has cabinet ministers, is part of parliament. Does the Lebanese government have any control over what Hezbollah does? And if they don't, why not?
The simple answer is no. This is going to be an oversimplification of sorts, Melissa, but there is a great deal of corruption in many parts of the Lebanese government. And the Lebanese government has not been terrific about serving its people. By contrast, while we always focus only on the military and terrorist aspects of Hezbollah, Hezbollah has enormous popularity, especially in the south of Lebanon, because it carries out and has for many years in a very uncorrupt fashion carried out civil action programs. It runs hospitals. It builds schools. It provides social services to people who desperately need them. And it has not escaped the notice of Lebanese that Hezbollah is doing for them what their government is not. So, you know, the Lebanese army has never been terribly powerful to begin with. There have always been sectarian differences in Lebanon between Christians and Muslim and Druze. And if I had to point to a single strongest unitary force in all of Lebanon, I would have to say that is Hezbollah.
And in terms of the military wing of Hezbollah, the Lebanese government is supposed to be, it's under a UN resolution, calling for them to disarm Hezbollah. Is there any appetite, either in the government or among the people, for them to do that, to take away their arms?
Well, you can call all you want, but Hezbollah is not going to respond to that. I mean, symbolically, and as for the UN, symbolically, I can draw you a word picture of the place that was just a couple of miles from where the cross-border attacks took place a couple of days ago. We went right up to the border, and there's a wire fence there. And on one side, on the Israeli side of the fence, is a battleship-sized, and that's no exaggeration. It may even be closer to the size of an aircraft carrier, an Israeli listening post, really foreboding just in its size, with all kinds of dishes and parabolic microphones. On the other side is a tiny counterpart version that Hezbollah has, that is a Hezbollah listening post that they point at the Israelis. And stuck in the middle is this totally innocuous UN observation post. Periodically, a UN officer will come out looking like the leader of a Japanese tour group, holding a pole with a small UN flag on the top of it, and two or three of his men behind him, and they will walk around and sort of look at things, look at the countryside, and then turn around and walk back. Symbolically, that is emblematic of what the UN is capable of doing to resolve the situation in Lebanon right now.
Ted Koppel, thanks very much.
Thank you, Melissa.